Okay, everybody, start. Interesting thing that the Rosh as serving as the Rosh HaRabbonim of Toledo, in addition to being the Rosh HaRabbonim, was also the Rosh Yeshiva. It was Rosh Yeshiva of Toledo, and due to the fact that his person, his popularity became so strong, so powerful, that the Rosh was very successful in terms of bringing back Limud HaTorah at the time. He realized the time of the Rosh, that being in Spain, the learning of Gemara was something that was very schwach. The Talmud and something was very, very weak. As a matter of fact, there's a sefer called Tzedol HaDerech, from a very early Mechaber, who writes, "Befrat b'chol eretz sforad shenismatu shom mikedem loimdei habavli." Very few people that really learned Talmud Bavli in Spain, going down the time of the Rishonim, very, very time of the Rosh. Acheheira Hashem Ruach Harav Rabbeinu Osher, Zechron Lebracha. Tel HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought in the Rosh in Spain, and we're talking about Toledo HaKoponim. So the Rosh was there, the one who started bringing a tremendous power of Limud HaTorah, of learning Talmud Bavli. And it is therefore that the Rosh basically, he concentrated more on learning Gemara, and only the Iker, those Gemaras that deal with Halacha, but who omitted Agadah, because he wanted them to become strong and becoming serious Talmid Chachamim. He wanted them to have serious learning. And it is said that is that's why, being that the Rosh himself did not emphasize Agadah, because at that particular time that Rabbi Yitzchak Boab, who wrote the Sefer Menoiris Hamor, which is much of that same Tekufa, because it's a very choshev Musa Sefer, especially many, many years later in the Olam HaChassidus, world of HaChassidus, the Sefer Menoiris Hamor is something that's very strongly accepted, to the extent it was also translated in Yiddish, so women would also be able, don't understand Lashon Kodesh, would also be able to avail themselves and learn that Musa Sefer. Interesting to realize the times that we're talking about. You're talking about, you know, the late 1200s, early 1300s, actually. In Spain, it was in the early 1300s. So the Rosh's fame went so far, the yeshiva, the Rosh, that Talmidim came literally from all over. They came all over Spain. They came from France. They came from Germany. And they came from Bohemia. And they came all the way from Russia. As a matter of fact, there's in the Chuvas Rosh, there's someone's mentioned, Rab Osher ben Rab Sinai, who comes from Eretz Russia. Someone that we might mention if we have time. So this is just one of the many different areas that you see from all over where the Rosh's influence went. And the Rosh basically, he taught the Gemara the way that you see the Shurim were recorded by Talmidim, and that's what makes up the Sefer Tosfos Rosh. The Tosfos Rosh that we have, Alashas, from the Rosh, that basically, and these were the Chidushim of the Rosh, based on the Derech HaLimud, that he was Mekabel in Ashkenaz, from his German Rabbeim, among them none other than the Maram Rotenberg, and so on. And that was the Derech HaLimud, of the Kashis and the Tirutzim that you find in our Tosfos, similar Tosfos that we have, and that's the Tosfos Rosh. I already mentioned before, previously, a number of occasions maybe, that, matter of fact, it's very interesting is that the Tosfos Rosh is many of the actual Tosfos that we have printed on the daf, which is difficult to understand, because Tosfos Loshen sometimes is very bekitzer, but you see actually the same thing in the Tosfos Rosh. You open up the Tosfos Rosh, it opens the eyes, because the writing in the Tosfos Rosh is a clearer, it's a little bit more barik, and therefore some of the words that may be missing in a regular Tosfos, but if you open up the Tosfos Rosh, you find Mamish the exact same thing. And it comes to mind many, many areas. I remember learning particular Tosfos, and the Lashon of Tosfos seemed to be something was left wanting. Then when you open up the Tosfos Rosh, whether it's Masechta Shabbos, whether it's Masechta Mitzvah, wherever it is, and exactly Mamish the same thing, you find the Rosh asking the same kashas that we have in our Tosfos, and the same terutzim, but with a little bit more words, a little bit of more understanding, a little bit more explanation, a little bit more of a beer. The Talmidim, by the way, also were zeichet to be supported to get stipends, because they came from all over. Now how are they going to support themselves? They're coming from Russia, they come from Spain, they're coming from France, so they have to eat. You know, they didn't have a dormitory like today, the yeshiva with all this stuff. So it was really, it was based upon the good natured people, the menadvim in Toledo, who volunteered that they're going to actually support as much as possible. The various Talmidim will come from all over to see that they have things that they need. Interesting thing also, what the Rosh had instituted, that when a Talmud completed the Zman, or when it was time for him to leave, he's going back home, you know, whatever the Zman that the Talmud was able to stay, the Rosh would give him a Te'uda. He would give him basically sort of like a letter, sort of like a stickle diploma, saying still clearly, he learned by me for a year, he learned by me for two, and he did well, and so on and so forth, which is something you can imagine having a letter from the Rosh regarding that situation. That was the style of the Rosh. And as a matter of fact, if you look in the Tshuvas Rosh Klal Nun Aleph, regarding that someone writes that the Herali, that particular person, the Herali, he showed me Igeres Psucha Chasuma Bachasimas Mareinu Rabbeinu Osher Vayukosubo, and it said there that this person, he learned by me and he studied by me, and so on and so forth. The Rosh was not only a Marbis Torah within the four walls of his yeshiva. The Rosh was a Marbis Torah also beyond the Kaisla HaYeshiva. And in the same time, if you remember, that the Rosh also paskined that if anybody had a particular sefer that was not common, because this was before the age of print, everything was manuscripts, and therefore there was limited editions of any sefer. And therefore, you can understand there was a shortage of svarim. The Rosh, therefore, he paskin that the one who has a sefer, which is beneficial for the tzibur, should lend it out, and he's mechuyev to lend it out. However, the person who borrows it, if you remember, has a particular achrayis to make sure that it's not damaged. And if he damages, then he's mechuyev to pay for any of the damages. Okay? Manuscripts are very expensive in any case, but the idea was, because you didn't have a public library like today, and things of that sort, they were able just simply to go ahead and borrow a sefer. So therefore, in order to facilitate people to be able to learn, someone had svarim, that he should really lend it out, giving the opportunity for other people as well to learn as well. The Rosh had a bezin, of course, you can imagine. The bezin consisted of six dayonim. And these six dayonim basically always were not too far from wherever the Rosh was. And as a matter of fact, it's brought down in the Tshuvas HaRosh. In Tshuvas HaRosh, the son of the Rosh writes, regarding it was the first night of Pesach, he says, after Ma'ariv. It's interesting, Loshin, he says, first night of Pesach after Ma'ariv. Where was the Rosh? So he says, Vayihi b'leil rishon shel Pesach. It was, he says, the first night of Pesach, Achrei Tfilas Arvis, Vadoini Yovi Horosh, and my father Rosh, Yoyshev al Pesach Besoy. He was sitting in the front of his house for whatever the reason. And we from the Chaveirim were on the right side and on the left side. They're always connected to the Rosh. And the fact that he was a Dayan, that also brought him into contact with many of the Stam people. See, as a Rosh Yeshiva, then he would be limited, you know, dealing with Tamid Chachomim and people who are learners. But as a Dayan, everybody who had a Din Torah, everybody had a Shaila. So that brought him into closer contact, so even Stam people would also be able to have an opportunity to come close and be close to the Rosh. And being that he made contact and needed the contact because of the people who came to him, as a Dayan, the Rosh found it necessary that he has to learn Arabic. That was the language that was spoken at the time. And you go through the Tshuvas HaRosh, you'll see, as the Rosh mentions various words, it says in Arabic, and some of the things are quoted, it's with Lashon Kodesh words. However, it is a text, you have Arabic text. And the Rosh needed to learn that, because coming from Germany, he did not at that time have the command of the language of Arabic. But interesting thing, you know, when it comes to languages, now you have languages which is the common language, which is the folks language that people, but sophisticated language, and like you write svarim, you write in books, sometimes you don't, even if you can master, you know, the colloquial language or the stam vernacular, but when it comes to a higher level of language, so the Rosh basically, his limud of Arabic, he was just in order to be able to converse with the general people. But when he needed to avail himself of some of the legal works that were written in Arabic to see, he said, what is the mahalach of the legal system, he had people translate into Lashon Kodesh various texts, which was a higher sophisticated Arabic. Interesting also to point out that the Rosh at the time was considered to be the highest legal authority, and as a result, when he found it necessary, he made very many takonis. He made very many takonis. He instituted new laws regarding dinim ominus, regarding inyonim of issues between sholom bayis, husband and wife, ish lishtoi. And those takonis that the Rosh made were not things that were just takonis. The Rosh was very strong. and very insistent that you have to listen to them. And the Rosh had a lot of power to make sure that you do. So any of the takonas that the Rosh instituted, any of the takonas the Rosh instituted, they were mechuyev to listen to him, not only in locally, but the takonas that the Rosh instituted were accepted in the entire Medinas Castilla, in all of the whole area. Miami, the whole area of Spain there, the northern part of Castilian, and the Rosh writes in a tshuva, and he said, listen, even though he says, I'm not one of the Amoroyim, he says, Avapi, I am not, he says, from the Talmidim Achroinim Shol Ravashi, I may not be an Amoyre, he says, Atotzorech Lishmoyali, the Epshel Cholach Lekalai. You have to listen to me, and you can't disagree with me. Rosh very strong. And it turns out also that if one of the Dayonim, if he was made a mistake and he paskined wrongly, so he had to show up right and hear what the Rosh's reprimand is going to be. So if a Dayan even made a mistake, he would not be able to hide simply by being a Dayan, but he had to face the consequences of what the Rosh would decide. The Rosh, as we say again, would not tolerate any injustice that is dealing, you know, under his authority. And as a matter of fact, if someone would defy, interesting to point out, if someone would defy a psak of the Rosh would threaten him with cherem. The Rosh would threaten him with cherem, and with not just a threat. If need be, the Rosh would implement it as time was needed. This point out in the Tshuva Rosh, you can find it in Klal Ches, you can find it in Klal Mem Hei, and in other places, Klal Kof Aleph, where the Rosh clearly says, listen, cherem, and he actually implemented it also. Another thing also, when somebody was elected as a dayan, the Rosh was very makpid on the highest ethical standards of a dayan. Namely, anybody who was a dayan in the bezin of the Rosh, or if it was a dayan even elsewhere, under the Rosh's jurisdiction, the Rosh would make sure or insist that no dayan actually would use his rabbinical authority for personal benefit. In other words, many times, because if you're a dayan, so maybe you're able to manipulate and to maneuver certain things, which if you would not be a dayan, you would not be able to receive certain benefits or gain certain benefits. The Rosh says you can't do that. So dayan, your job is one thing, and that is to paskin and to be a dayan. And very insistent not to use the rabbinical authority for a personal benefit. Also, inflicting onshim, punishment, for people, basically, people who were perpetrators, people who did wrongs, or criminals, Jewish criminals. The Rosh had the authority from the government, from the Castilian government, to inflict punishment and to impose fines, very serious, very, very high fines, penalties, which were schumim gedolim, which were tremendously large sometimes, which you can see in the Tshuva Rosh, where the Rosh says that I impose a knas of such and such because of this kind of an infringement. It goes further than that, that the government also bestowed rights on the Jewish community, right, on the Jewish community, the right to be able to impose physical punishment, Oinshe Haguf, and also even capital punishment, something we mentioned, something which is an unbelievable thing. Even to impose capital punishment, that was already rights given before the Rosh came. When the Rosh came and he heard about it, he did not like that. He was much against it. As a matter of fact, he himself never utilized that right under any circumstances, even though the government bestowed a right. However, listen to the Lashon of the Rosh. The Rosh writes regarding this issue, the Tshuva Rosh Klal Yudzayim, he says, I come and I find that for many years that the government gave them the right, even, right, to impose capital punishment, being that I came as a newcomer, hinachti lohem kimin hogam, I was not mevatel their minug, avon me'oilam lo hiskamti imoem alibu nefesh. But I never agreed with it. I never went along with it personally. However, I was not mavatlit because it was something that was already had been accepted over there. But the Rosh himself never utilized, that ability or that right that was given by the government. But it's interesting. Is interesting as an aside to mention that there are many types of punishments, for certain things that people do, certain offenses which the Gemara doesn't give. Certain things are pitoyra, you don't have certain punishments. The Rosh felt for the benefit of society that sometimes you have to impose certain punishments. It's called l'fitzoyra chashoa, and as being a high authority, he would, even though in the Gemara per se there's no such and such punishment for this and this type of an offense, but the Rosh would impose this type of a punishment, and many times he would use the punishment that was similar, where the Goyish government would also give. for that offense. But as the power, right, as being a Rosh Bezin, he would himself have the power to impose the same thing. And he would do it. Now, something which, again, by today's standards, is something which is something so foreign, so strange. But many criminals, Lamaise, were punished, many criminal punishment, by actually inflicting what we call a mum kivua, which means is cutting off the tip of a nose, cutting off a tongue. As a matter of fact, if you take in Shuvah Sarosh, which is in Klal Yud Ches, which is found down over there, and he says, at a later date, he says, we find that the Rosh, also, he went along with a particular situation where capital punishment was in fact imposed, and here's the Lashon of the Rosh, Klal Chof Aleph. This particular person who was considered like a Zokin Mamre. He's somebody which clearly defied authority, Jewish authority. Whatever a Bezin said, he went against it. Did anything against Torah. Did anything, you know, clearly to show, to defy, and really to try to throw and to break the authority. So the Rosh writes like this, V'gam yodoinu oisoi lamoves kidin Zokin Mamre. Yodoinu oisoi lamoves kidin Zokin Mamre, like someone who is defiant. And then, so you think that's a one-time thing? So in Klal Yuzayin, he writes, Legabe, a Bezin who carried it out, he himself was not personally involved, but he says, Yofa osu, they did well, Shedonuhu litlois, they hung him. They sent them to be hung, V'chein yoivdu koleivecho Hashem, writes the Rosh. So it's just very interesting to see that the immense power that they had, it had to be based upon all the conditions have to fall into place that this should, you know, that this should apply. As in the Chuvas of Rosh's son, Rabbi Yehuda ben Harosh, he writes that this took place, he said, around between 1312 and 1320. These type of situations that we mentioned. So in any case, we have a little bit of a picture of to see the strong power and the strong authority of the Rosh, beyond being the great Rosh Yeshiva, beyond being the great Paisik, but also as a Dayan in terms of the authority and how he was held in high esteem, as we see in all of these many, many areas. So go, Rabbi Yisrael, now we go to the Yerkes Chaim. We go to Dav Tez Vov. Merely repeating it, but always the Rosh adds some new dimension, another nekuda in the same area. So here in this Sif Chavav, he talks about bitochen. Well, the chiva v'yid, that he has to be a b'teich b'Hashem under all circumstances, no matter what the situation is. Livtoyach b'Hashem b'chol levavcho. A person should be a b'teich b'Hashem, to trust Hashem b'chol levavcho with all your heart. Ulahamin b'shgechosoy aprotis. And a person should have a muna in Hashgach HaPratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically is on top of every individual thing that happens. Hashgach HaPratis means that there's divine providence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly on top of it, and everything that happens is under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive. Nothing happens by chance. And this is something that the Rosh says, is something that a person has to believe. Laham and Bashgach HaPratis. And as we'll soon see, Bemis, these two things go together. Because if you're asking for a person to have bitochen in what takes place, bitochen is only possible to have trust in Hashem when you believe that what's happening is under Hashgacha Pratis. If you don't have full emunah in Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem really is directing, he's pulling the strings in each and every area, then how can you say to have bitochen in a situation that arises, that bitochen in Hashem on a particular situation, that Hashem is not involved with it? So therefore, it's Hobo Tal, these are connected. Liftoich Hashem b'chol levavcho. Ulahamin, right? Ulahamin b'ashgachosei aprotis, which means that you have to believe in Hashgacha Pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is personally involved. Says Rosh further, ubezeh tikayim bilvavcho, and if a person believes in Hashgacha Pratis, then you will be mekayim in your attitude. With this hashkafa, you'll be mekayim hayichud hasholem. You'll be mekayim the complete unity of Hashem. What does he mean by that? It means quite simply, a yid twice a day, right? He says Shema Yisrael. Now what is he saying? He's proclaiming Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad, Hashem is the only one. What does it mean Hashem is the only one? In what area? There's many things, right? In many roles, so to speak. There's many roles in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that one might assign and say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in A, but he may not be involved in B. Practically speaking, one of the most common misconceptions, right, and there are those who go along with that, at least even in other religions, possibly, and that is, that if we believe that Hashem is the creator, that he's the Borei Olam, he created the world, but does not mean that he's running the world. Hashem created the world, and now the world runs as it is. Things just happen as it goes, as you set the stage, as you do, so consequences follow based upon whatever you're doing. So Kibbalah basically creates the world, but he's not involved in running the world. Now if a person, that means that he believes that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, but he's not yet convinced that Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world, Hanhogas Olam, that means he does not believe in Hashgacha Pratis. He does not believe that Hashem is involved with each and every individual that is here on this earth. So when you're saying Hashem Echad, it's not fully Hashem Echad. Because Hashem is not fully involved. Hashem is not fully not the only one. He's the only one in one aspect. He created the world. But there are other forces that also have influence besides Hashem. If there's no Hashgacha Pratis, that means that there are other kliyim, there are other forces that are involved in what's taking place in the world. Then the full unity of Hashem is not, right, has not taken place. That's why the Rosh says, if a person believes in Hashgacha Pratis ubezeh, then tekayim bo hayichud hasholem, then you have the complete Hashem Echad. Because there's nothing besides Hashem. Anything that happens in this world, everything has a shaykhah with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's only when a person is firmly committed to this Hashgacha, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's yichud hasholem. That's Hashem Echad on the highest level, on the fullest level. This is what the Rosh is saying. When you're saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what a Yid is saying Hashem Echad means, what are you proclaiming? What should he be mechaven? Hashem Echad means Hashem is the only influence in anything that's happening here in the world. Hashem Echad. That's called the Yichud Hashem. Hashgacha Pratis. And he goes on a little bit in detail. Behamin boy, because it means that you are believing in Hashem. Ki einov b'shoite tois b'chol oris. Hashem is fully aware, right? Hashem's eyes, right, are all over. The Einov al kol darkeish. And Hashem's eyes basically are perusing on every move that a man makes. Not only a man makes, because Baruch Hu not only observes outside motions, which I can also see when you do something, Hashem also observes your inner, your machshavis, what you're thinking about, what your eitzes, in your mind. Hashem is boichen lev v'choyker kloyos. Choyker kloyos, right, this literally means, right, investigating the kidneys. Kidneys are, is emotional, for thought, for eitzah. Hashem is a boichen lev. Hashem knows his yodei machshavis. So now says the Rosh, listen to this. Ki mi she'eino imamin, asher hoitzesich omer es Mitzrayim, af benoich Hashem alakecho eino imamin. Hear that? Pasuk says there's a beginning and there's an end. We'll soon see in the Tosfos Yontif, we have it soon on the sheet. Onoich Hashem alakecho, asher hoitzesich omer es Mitzrayim. The truth is that there are two parts. There's a tchilas haposik, there's a beginning of the posik. Onoich Hashem alakecho. There are people who say like this, Onoich Hashem alakecho, I believe there's a God in the world. Right? Because God created the world, how does the world come about? Hashem created the world, fine. But he may not believe though the second part. Asher hoitzesich omer es Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim because asher hoitzesich omer es Hashem runs the world. Onoich Hashem alakecho means because God created the world. Onoich Hashem alakecho. But Asher Hoitzesich Omer Es Mitzrayim, because Baruch was involved, you see, it's Mitzrayim, which is a marshal of everything else, right? That because Baruch was involved in running the world, he may not believe that. So the Rosh is saying, you can't separate the two. That if you don't believe that Hashem runs the world, then you don't believe really in the fullest sense of Anoich Hashem Lekechicho. Because the Amunah, that because Baruch was Hashem Lekechicho, means that he actually is involved in every aspect of the world. In other words, if you don't believe in the end of the Pasuk, the beginning of the Pasuk also. The end of the Pasuk and the beginning of the Pasuk go together. So we'll soon see more detail about that. But this is the Nekudah that we're saying. Kimi she'ein imamin, if you don't believe in the second part, Asher Hoitzesich Omer Es Mitzrayim, Av Benoich Hashem Elokecho Ein Imamin. You're lacking emun in the Anoich Hashem Elokecho as well. The Ein Zeh Yichud Sholem, that's only like a partial belief. A partial belief, yes, Hashem created the world. But if you don't believe that He's running the world, it's not a Yichud Sholem. Ki zeh hoyo zgulas Yisroel al kol ha'amim, Because that, in fact, as we're going to see, there's many different Pirushim. The Rashi is saying, this is what makes Klal so special over all the other nations. In other words, what makes Klal so special over all the nations, one of the Pirushim is that a Yid understands and believes the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world in every aspect of Shvach HaPratis. Where the Yumas Oilam are not that convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every Nekuda and every aspect that happens in the world. Yes, they may believe in God, as many do, but in the same token, they don't have the Yichud HaSholem. They don't have the full Emun on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't believe to whatever extent they believe it, but the fact that Kishbroch is involved in running the world and so on and so forth, that makes Klal so special. And this is the Yisoid of Kol HaTorah Kula. We'll soon see what it means that this is the Yisoid of Kol HaTorah Kula. So if we take a look, here in the, go turn the page again back to Tesvov, this is in the beginning, and we'll take a look in the, we see what the Moshe Sternberg here, Kimi She'enoi. It's from the top, Chavov, it's the third paragraph, Kimi She'enoi Mamin. Okay? The Rosh said, Kimi She'enoi Mamin, someone who does not believe in Asher Tzisich HaMeretz Mitzrayim, if you don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, Av B'noichi Hashem L'kecho E'enoi Mamin. So, Kavanosoi. So, Rav Sternberg says here, it means, Shim E'enoi Mamin, believing in, not believing Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim alone. What's behind that? Not believing Yetzias Mitzrayim means you don't believe that Hashem is involved in Hashgachah Pratis. That's what it means. It's symbolic. Yetzias Mitzrayim is just one of many. Yetzias Mitzrayim is just one Nekudah, just one Moshel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in. If a person does not believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim means he does not believe in Hashgachah Pratis, so Memele, who kaifer b'shleimus v'yichud Hashem. So now he's denying the shleimus, the complete uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the true power is that Hashem is the all-powerful, is the almighty, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. And that is the true emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to say further, Kimisha in Amamin, again, the Rosh said, one who does not believe in Asher Tzisich HaMeretz Mitzrayim, Av B'noich Hashem Elokecho Eni Mamin. Hu Emunah B'Yetzias Mitzrayim Hayin Hashgachah Pratis. And that is Tolu B'Emunah Sayichud. To believe in Hashgachah Pratis means you believe that shows to what extent you believe in B'noich Hashem Elokecho. The extent, the highest level of B'noich Hashem Elokecho is to believe that Hashem is involved in Hashgachah Pratis. But he says, you notice, that this is the Maila that Yidin have over Goyim. So it says the Rosh, look at the bottom, says Rosh Sternbuch. So what is Mashma from the Rosh, therefore? If this is the Maila that a Yid has, Kizeh Segulas Yisroel HaKolamim, Mashma Shegoy Eina Mitzuva Al Yichud Hashem Hashgachah Pratis. In other words, you know one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach is a Goy also has to believe in Hashem. One of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach is a Goy is not allowed to, right? Not allowed to be Oyvid Avoy Dizorah. I'm not going now, Bishitu, for now, I don't want to get into all that. But basically, a Goy also is Mitzuva in Emunah Bashem. So what is the distinction between a Goy Zemunah and a Yid Zemunah? So Rav Sternberg points out, it's Mashal from the Rosh, that even though a Goy also is commanded in Emunah Bashem, but he does not have to believe in Hashgachah Pratis. That's already a step beyond. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, divine providence, that is a Maila of a Yid, because that is Segulas Yisroel Al Kol Ha'amim. So I'd like to advise that we take a look now a little bit on the sheet here, and to see, these inyanim that we find in Pesukim in the Seferim, who how they have understood a little bit, right? Going a little bit deeper, like in these words that we have just learned. So the opening words that we had, of course, of the Yerchus Chaim that we had here, was L'ftoyach b'Hashem b'chol levavcho u'lahamin b'shgachosoi ha'protis. To turn to the left, number two, this is the Targum of the Tosfos Yontov. As you remember, the Tosfos Yontov not only printed an edition of the Yerchus Chaim, personally he had it printed, but he also when he translated in Yiddish, in order that women should also understand it. So what they came is, what that later came is, they went and took the Yiddish of the Tosfos Yontov and they translated it into Hebrew. So now, the components of this translation, you have Targum Tosfos Yontov, that's not his Lashon. He wrote it in Yiddish. By the way, in a very difficult Yiddish. This is old Yiddish, you know, going back many hundreds of years. So I'm going to have German Yiddish, it's a mixture of a different type of a dialect of a Yiddish. But component was in Yiddish. And this Targum Tosfos Yontov is a translation of the translation. The Tosfos Yontov, and he says like this, this is what Tosfos Yontov is saying. Shekol echad yiftach b'chol levovoy l'Hashem yizborach. What does it mean? What does b'tochen mean? Tosfos Yontif explains the word of the Rosh. The Rosh says, Livtoyach b'Hashem. What does b'tochen mean? So here's the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif says, Shehu levadoy yochol la'azoy l'chol echad b'chol inyem. That's what it means. B'tochen b'Hashem means that if something happens, that you believe, you have b'tochen that only Hashem can help you. Yes, there may be a shliach. Hashem may send a shliach, and it goes b'derech hateva, right? Certainly, you're going to have to. You're going to do certain ishtavlis. But the who gives the blessing that the ishtavlis should work? Who is going to give the bracha in the ishtavlis? Who is going to be the cause, the driving force behind all of that ishtavlis that the ishtavlis should bring to its source? What? That should see fruit in the ishtavlis. It's all Hashem. The end of the day, it's all Hashem, and that has to be the b'tochen. The b'tochen is shehu levado yochel la'azor l'chol echod. The gam yamin, and also shiriyosoi vashgechosoi hamyuchedish kol shbrochu. And also, when you talk about hashgocha protis, it's al kol dover shebiolim. In other words, sometimes you'll say a kol shbrochu is only involved in the big things, and the little things is not negated to him. Kol shbrochu is involved. That's lacking emuna in hashgocha protis. Hashgocha protis means Hashem clearly has observing and is involved. There's no such thing as a Dover Gordel, and there's no such thing as a Dover Kotten. It doesn't make a difference. He has to believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu is real. He observes and he's mashgiach, right? Supervises, a special miyuchid, al kol Dover Sheboilam, ven shum Dover Yoyser Medai Gordel, oy Kotten, oy Yoyser Medai Kal. There's nothing that is too little of importance. It doesn't pass the Kodesh Baruch Hu should be involved with it. No such thing. Doesn't make a difference. Lesser important, more important, Kodesh Baruch Hu is involved in everything. That's all part. So that is the Koach of Hashem. So now go down to the go a little bit further in the Rosh in the Targum of the Tosfos Yontif, the last paragraph that we have here. Aval Hamuna. He said because the Rosh said because the Tosfos Yontif brings down also what the Rosh said. If someone doesn't believe, in Asher Hotzei Sicha, then he also doesn't really believe in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So now, Aval Hamuna, by the way, this is how the Tosfos Yontif translates what the Rosh says. Because the Rosh said this is Gulas Yisrael. Right? To believe in Hashgacha Protis is Gulas Yisrael. That's the Maila that a Yid has. So the Tosfos Yontif types it like this. Aval Hamuna Amitis Bashem Ho Echod. What does it mean to believe that Hashem is Echod? What's the true Hamuna that Hashem is Echod? Hakel HaKabir. Right? The Almighty God, Baruch Hu. Asher hashgachosoi v'koychoi hu b'chol mokoim b'li yoytzeh min haklal to believe that Hashem is hashgoche is involved in everything without exception. It was always, he said, this was always the belief of Yidden. Umipnei hu emuna hu amitis azu, and because Yidden believed that, because they believe that, this is how we touch it. Because they believe that, Hayehudim levadom mikol umois hemazgulis shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Vizu hamuna hi hayesod shel kol Torah mezuzah. So he's touching like this, a little bit different than Rav Sternbuch learned. Remember, Rav Sternbuch learned that kizeh hoya zgulas Yisrael kol amim. The mile of a yid, right? The mile of a yid. The mile of a yid, of course, over all the nations is again that yidden. They didn't believe in Hashgacha Protis. He says, it works the other way around. He said, because he didn't believe that, that's why they're an Am Segula. In other words, it was the other way. It starts first that. What made Yidden special is because Yidden had that belief. That's the word. Because Yidden had that belief, right? Because Yidden had that belief. Because he says, Mahoyim Ma'oyim Ma'munosim Shem, this was always the Jewish belief. And being that Yidden, a Yerusha from Avraham Avinu, who taught the Muna? The Hem in Bashem, of course. Yidden had a Yerusha. And being that it was an all-time belief, this is not something new. Now when it came to Anoich Hashem, Yidden already had that belief. They already had that belief. And it's because of that belief that Hashem, right, Klal Yisrael was considered to be a special treasure. Because they were the ones who believed that, and the rest of the world did not have that belief. Now if you take a look, go to number four. By the way, I should also point out here, be number three, we should say, there's a few lines here. This is from Cheskel Lavinstein, from the Mishgiach, from the Sefer Or Yecheskel. He says, Kizez Gulas Yisroel al Kol Amin. He has another pshat. This Gulas Yisroel, the mile of Kol Yisroel al Kol Amin, Hashgacha Protis. He has another nekude. He ties it like this. He says, Hashgacha Protis, right? Every Yid has to believe in Hashgacha Protis. Okay, that's what the Rosh is telling us. So Cheskel Lavinstein says that the Rosh signs off with saying another nekudah. what Rav Chaskel Einstein sees in the words of the Rosh, when the Rosh says that Hashgacha Pratis is Gulas Yisrael Kolamim, he wants to explain what is the secret of survival. What's the secret of survival that Yidden, thousands of years, have had so many opportunities to assimilate among the Goyim, and yet Yidden have remained Yidden. Unfortunately, there are a lot who have assimilated. But the fact is, Baruch Hashem, we have Klal Yisrael still around. Klal Yisrael, what? What was the koyach that Klal Yisrael maintained? Were able to maintain their Jewish identity and their spiritual standing throughout all of the Nisyonis. Says the Rosh, Lefi Reb Chatzkel, that's also part of Hashgacha Pratis. If Hashgacha Pratis would not have Hashgacha Pratis, in other words, because Hashgacha Pratis has Hashgacha Pratis on Klal Yisrael, that's what protected Klal Yisrael. That's why Klal Yisrael is a Gulam and Kolamim, they still maintain the spiritual standing above all the nations. If Hashgacha Pratis, if not Hashgacha Pratis, if Cholila, there would not be Hashgacha Pratis, we would not be able to survive. Kizeh, so Lefizeh, that's what the Rosh is saying, according to him. Kizeh hoyo, because there is such a thing as Hashgacha Pratis, so Yid, by the way, if a Yid wants to prove Hashgacha Pratis, let him just look at himself. I'm still here after so many thousands of years. So many thousands of years of persecutions, of oppressions, of obliteration. And I'm still here. That's a raya for Hashgacha Pratis. And so I wrote down a few lines, like in the Haggadah. Had there not been a special divine providence, he said, we would not be able to be here. So look at the Lashon now of the Ari Cheskel. Kizeh. Kizeh meaning the Hashgacha Pratis is Gulas Yisrael HaKolamim. Hainu, Shehashgacha Pratis Beklal Yisrael Hu Lishmer Matzovoi Horuchni Malosoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu is direct, right? Direct supervision that he supervises Klal Yisrael, that protects the Matzav of Klal Yisrael. And the Maile, Lahamidoi Al Madregosoi, to maintain the Madrega of Yid Sheyizkebo Lechaye Ad Lenetzach Netzachim, to be able through his life to be zoiche ultimately to Olam Haba, to have Gan Eden, and so on, and so on and so forth. So again, it's all part of the koyach of Hashgacha Pratis. If we take a look here, take a look at number four again on the Loshen. Again, if you see again, seeing so many different on the words of the Rosh, Kimi. This, by the way, this as you see, this Oirach Yisharim is also another pirish on the Orchas Chaim. Orchas Chaim, Oirach Yisharim, the way of the right. Those who go on the straight path are the Eloch Yidin, the Oirach of Yisharim. Those Yidin who are like who go on the just path and the path of righteousness of Yosher. And this is from the Shurim of the Alter from Keln, because we know that many of the great Balamusa had Shurim on the Orchas Chaim. So here's a few lines under the heading here, Oirach Yisharim, on the words of the Rosh, Kimisha Einu Mamin, someone does not believe Asher Tzitzichem Es Mitzrayim, right? The Rosh said, does not believe in Anoichi. Hine Yesh Beiz Mine Amunas, basically what we explained. There are two types of Amunah. Anoichi Hashem Lekecho Pirish Chidush Oilam. That means Hashem was the one who created the world. That's Anoichi Hashem Lekecho. Chidush Oilam. V'gam Eretz Mitzrayim, when we say Hoitzisichum Eretz Mitzrayim, Moira that teaches al Hashgacha Pratis. So these are the two aspects. It's not just one posik, one message. You know, Hashem Lekecho Hoitzisichum Eretz Mitzrayim. You know, Hashem Lekecho, Kama. Hoitzisichum Eretz Mitzrayim. These are two emunas mentioned in the posik. Because of our Ramban Zal, Soy Pashas Boy, the Ramban writes at the end of Pashas Boy, well-known words of the Ramban, Kipinas, what is the cornerstone of our emunah? Ramban saying this. Kipinas emunaseinu hi, ki anhogas oilam nes nister. The anhogas oil, the truth is, every step of the way in this world is a nes. We call it nature. Ramban said there's no such thing as nature. It's a nes nister. The only difference, he says, what we call nes and we call teva, the truth is it's all nisim. We call a nes, if it's a nes nigla, we call it nes. That which is not nigla, we call nature. The truth is no such thing as nature. The only difference is the all nisim, nes nigla or nes nister. So says Ramban. Pirish nira kimin hoge shel olam. It just looks like the Welt fitzach hazoy. It just looks like that the world is going on that way. Al be'emes hakol al pimase ha'odom letoiv olamutav chadshon. Whether whatever happens, good or bad, cholila. V'zeh kavonas orches chaim larosh ki zeh segulas yisrael ha'koluamim. That is the milah that a yid has. That what? That a yid understands. That what? Does he understand that everything is a nes nister? And I wonder, he doesn't bring this lotion, but that Ramban that he's quoting here, that Ramban said at the end of Parshas Boy, when Ramban says that there's no such thing as Teva, Ramban says very forceful words. unusual strong words, and the Beklal loosely, as I'm going to paraphrase Loshon Ramban. Ramban says like this. He says, "Bechiva veYid," said Ramban, is to believe that everything that Kosh Baruch Hu does in the world, as you see as the world goes, he says, is a nes, the ein lohem dev teva klal. Loshon Ramban. There's no such thing as teva. No such thing as teva. It's all nes. It's all in nes ister. And then he says, the ein lo odom chelik b'toiras Moshe Rabbeinu. You cannot be a yid and have a chelik in Toras Moshe at shenamin unless you believe shechol mikreinu, that everything that happens with us hakol nes nisim b'li shum teva klal. So says Ramban. It can't be a yid. If you want to have a chelik in Toras Moshe, you have to understand there's no such thing as nature. Everything nes nister. You don't see it. You recognize. You think it's natural. It's a nes nister, and that's fundamental. It's not just a luxury item. It's not just a mile. Yeah, it's a madrege to believe. No, it's fundamental. Not just a madrege. Each and every yid is supposed to believe that, and that is the nekuda that one is supposed to believe. Now, you know, interesting thing. The Ibn Ezra brings down that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, famous Rabbi Halevi, the Kuzari, asked a question. It's a question that other Rishonim ask as well. If Hashem wants to impress upon you who He is, so He starts out with the Yisrael Sadirbis, right? Hashem is saying to me, Anoich Hashem Lekecho. You know who I am? Hashem Tzisicho Meres Mitzrayim. Why doesn't He say, Anoich Hashem Lekecho, Hashem Boros Yishamayim V'yoretz? I'm Hashem who created heaven and earth. You know who I am? I created the world. Anoich Hashem Lekecho, Hashem Tzisicho Meres Mitzrayim. So the Ibn Ezra brings down this kasha. If you take a look here in Dori Cheskel, book number 5. He brings down Parshas Yisroi. He says, "Kosav with an Ezra Zal, the Parshas Aseres Adibris, Lomo Hiskir, Anoich Hashem Lekecho Asher Tzisicho Meres Mitzrayim." Why does Hashem say, "Look, you know who I am. I'm the one who's able to create the heaven and earth. Yesh Miayin Mamish." He says, "I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu V'Layoma." Why did He not say, "Shosisi Shomayim V'Yoretz Vani Asisicho Anoich Hashem Lekecho"? That made you. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Say, "Gvaldi Gizach, I took you out of Mitzrayim." How about something more than that? I made you. I created you. I created the world. Says da. So first let's see the Loshon, two lines of Ibn Ezra, and then how you'll see how Reb Chatzkel explains what the Ibn Ezra is trying to say. Da. Ki ein malus ben yodim shovo is ben winosom belibum. He's saying something that's quite poshut. The level of amun is not the same between two people. You can have rabbis say 10 yidin in the room and they all are maminim, 100%. But you know what? The level of amun is not the same. Talk about from yidin. Ta yidin takura maminim. People believe in Hashem. But in terms of the level of Amunah B'Hashem is different from Yid to Yid. There's no end and there's no Gvul. It goes, you know, from one to infinity. Mamish, there's no, in Amunah, Amunah itself is something that has B'li Gvul and B'li Erech. And the Ibn Ezra says, Ki ein milus ben yodim shoviz ben minosu b'libam. Some people have stronger Amunah, some people have shvacher Amunah, some people have even more Amunah, stronger. He says, Shehem Aminim, he said, people believe B'Shem Hanirbot. Yeah, they believe in Hashem Hanirbot. Ki Rabim Aminim, there are those who believe, Lahashmoas Naim. Some believe because they heard some great things. They heard some great things about what Hashem might have done. Sheyoyim Alehem Adonayim Kocho. You know, their masters have told them certain things, so they believe. I was told something. What's a higher madrega? High madrega is when someone actually saw something, right? So then he had, it's more tangible to him. Higher is not what you heard, but something that you see more in writing, so to speak. And then there are people who basically use their intelligence to study. And Yakir Mas Hashem b'maskoynes. You can recognize Hashem in the architecture of the world. So that mamishi comes to his seichel, understands that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But smachim, look at all the plants. Right? Thousands of varieties of plants. He sees all the different types of chayis, life forces, human body, and so on and so forth. Go to number 6. Now, says Ibn Ezra, being there's so many different levels of how a person comes to a munah b'Hashem, so avinah hiske, now, so for the smart people, I mean people who have come to realizing Hashem through seichel, v'hine, lemaskil, a person who comes to realize Hashem, his seichel says there has to be a creator. There has to be, like Avraham Avinu. How did Avraham Avinu figure out? Avinu came with his own seichel, right? Yesh manig lebirazu. There has to be a leader who created this world. So someone who comes to the realization of a Kodesh Baruch Hu through seichel, we say, Noichi Hashem. His seichel understands it. Vahoysev. And then he had Ashoysesicho. But some people need, right? They need a push. They don't, through their own seichel, they don't recognize it. You have to show them something. Ashoysesicho, Meres Mitzrayim. Ah, look what Hashem did. Sheyovin Hamaskel v'shein Hamaskel. That the Baal Seichel or the non-Baal Seichel, they should all understand. This is the Losh of the Eben Ezra. Now look at the words of the Yor Yecheskel, how he explains it. Look at what he says further. V'kach b'yuroi. What the Eben Ezra is saying as follows. Unoichei Hashem means from the Bria. If a person really looks into the Bria, he's able to come on his own to the realization that there's a Boir Olam. Mikol ha-Bria kula yuchel lehovin ve-lilmoid k'Hashem hu ha-Boir. Ki kol ha-Bria kula hi-Hashem. Ach lo zeh dosh chokhma v'askola. But for that, right, a person has to have chokhma, he has to have seichel and intelligence, that he comes to the conclusion, right, that he comes to the conclusion, from the Bria itself, from the Bria itself, you should recognize as a Boir Olam. Because Baruch Hu wanted everybody to believe. Not everybody's a great Baal Seichel. Not everybody's like Avraham Avinu. Not everybody's like Avraham Avinu that on his own will come to recognize as Hashem. So what about those people don't have that super intelligence? Because Baruch Hu wants them also to believe. But you can't rely on their Chochmah. Zohamun ish the Chochmah. So he says, "Achlo." He said, "Mekivin shiros Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Because Baruch Hu wanted, "Sha'af she'eno maskilim," that even those that are not so intelligent, "Yedu v'yakirim emtzias Hashem." In other words, "Achlo noshim mktanim nislamurim." Even people, right, were not so much involved in philosophy. Vazeh hoisev akosev number 7. Asher hoisesicho mes Mitzrayim, betzis Mitzrayim her Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'chush. If you were there at Yetzis Mitzrayim, there would be no doubt that there's a Rabbi Nishloilim. Even Paray, the biggest apikoiris, who said originally, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekoiloi. Everybody came to recognize that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yetzis Mitzrayim, you didn't have to rely on your intelligence. You didn't have to be intelligent. Everybody saw it Bechush. Aflo Oysam Shloi Rotsu Lahamin. Even those who didn't want to believe, they were forced to believe. They had no choice. They were forced to believe. Shereich Hashem. Lachain, therefore, Hera Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu showed then, Oysois Umoifsim, Vishinu Habriya Vateva, Shua Kodesh Baruch Hu changed nature. Shal Yedezeh Yedu Hakoil V'yakiru, Shim B'koichel Ishanis Es Habriya. If you see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we can change nature. All these Eser Makis, Kriyas Yamsuf, right? So certainly he had to create the world. In other words, Hashem, if you can change, who is able to change nature if not the one who invented it, the one who created it? Through a Yetzias Mitzrayim, seeing how Kodesh Baruch Hu changes nature, that'll bring you to Amunah Hashem that He created the world, he says. So he says, interesting thing, once you have the push through Oysos Umoifsim, that'll stimulate your intelligence and say, you know what, yeah, there has to be a Boir Olam. That'll stimulate your intelligence, even though like, still you're not so smart on your own to figure out there's a Boir Olam. But he says, through the Nisim, Achashi Yagia Lediyazu B'derech Oysos Umoifsim, Chushi, right, coming to a Yediyah through seeing all these Moifsim, Yekel Achakach, then your intelligence will also kick in. Lahakir is a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mikoyach Havon. Then now look at nature again. After you see Mitzrayim, take another look at the world. Look at Shemayim, look at Oretz, look at the animal world, look at the human body, look at everything. Everything that you couldn't figure out maybe originally that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, after you see Mitzrayim, now look at the Bria, take a second look. Now you'll see Hashem and the Bria. Now you'll see Hashem and the Bria. You know what the Sifra Chassidus says? Rav Tzadik HaKohen says in one of the places, Molo Ha'oretz Kinyonecho. What does that mean? Molo'etz kinyanecha means HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled the earth kinyanecha to be able to be koine him, but you have to find it. In other words, Hashem's presence is filled in the world. Hashem puts himself, but it's covered over. It's blanketed over. Molo ha'aretz kinyanecha. The earth is filled with being able to be koine HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the avodah v'yid is to be able to find it and to be able to reveal Hashem from all of the places that he is hidden. So Mamela said, this is the pshat. Unoich Hashem Elokecho, he says, Asher, that I created Shemayim V'yoretz, the Yidol say to himself, really? He says, I don't really see it. I mean, I'm hearing it, but... So, Unoich Hashem Elokecho, those who are maskilim, those who have seichel, will understand Unoich Hashem Elokecho. They recognize, just looking at the world, just looking at themselves, they can recognize. It didn't happen by itself. To recognize, there had to be a Boir Olam. But if not, Asher Yitzisicho Meres Mitzrayim, for those who are not that intelligent. They're not some great philosophers. They're not. So Yitzisicho Meres Mitzrayim, there they saw it Bechush. And once they come to recognize Bechush, now they can go back and look at the Bria itself and recognize to see that in fact that there is a Boir Olam in the Bria. Then they'll find. If you look, you'll be able to search for, if you search for Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're going to find the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll be able to find him. So in the remaining moments, that I want to mention over here, and that is Rabbi Sai. Look here in number 10. Look at number 10, because you remember, because to do number 10, this is his Gula Nefloa, something that we did when we learned Nefesh HaChaim. We have it here with a Hoysofa, with a small Hoysofa. We have it over here. But look again, just appreciate it. Look two lines again, go back to number 2, where we have the Toises Yontif. Go back on the sheet again. What did Betochen mean? What were the first words of the Toises Yontif? Shekol Echad Yiftach, right, B'chol Avovoi, Al Hashem Yizborach Shmoi. What does it mean? Shehu levadoi yochoi la'azoi l'cholechot b'cholinyim. Betochen means that you believe that what? That only Hashem, no one else beside Hashem is able to help you. Ein oid milvadoi, there's nobody else. Okay? So here we have again, people forget about this, a tremendous gula over here. And this is from a sefer, brought down from a sefer, Uvdes van Hoges l'beis brisk, but l'maisa, we learned it also in the Nefesh HaChaim, direct out of the Nefesh HaChaim. I'm bringing it here for a reason, from this sefer, although years ago we learned it directly from the Nefesh HaChaim. Let's take a look here. This piece is a quote from the David Soloveitchik Shlita. David Soloveitchik talks about his father, the Brisker Rav. Talks about his father, the Brisker Rav, and talks about his Zayd also. Elt is about the Beis Halevi, of Brisk. So here it says like this, Le'acha Mikan, he says, he says, Eich v'keitzad nitzel. My father Briskarov explained how he survived the Holocaust. How he survived. Little Lithuania, all these places, Brisk, you know. All the tourists, you're trying to run from one place to another. My father explained to us, Obdovitz Soloveitchik is saying, I heard from my father, from the Briskarov, from the Velvel, how we survived. Machmas, he says, you know why? Shebemeshach kol haderech choshev kmo shekosa bema shekosa Rabbein Reb Chaim Volozhin zecher tzadik livracha. My father said he was not masiach das from what Reb Chaim Volozhin writes. What does Reb Chaim Volozhin write? Besifre nefesh haChaim shar gimel, right? Sof perek yud bei v'zelu shoyne. Ubeemes hu inyan gadol uzgula nifloi. Listen to this. Reb Chaim Volozhin said this is gula. You know they did years ago. What they did was they printed cards. Years ago, they printed cards with this gula of Reb Chaim Volozhin that people would have in the pocket. Because whenever you are in a tzara, just remember Reb Chaim Volozhin's gula. The Briskarov said it never fails. And Dovid Soloveitchik that we have over here is quoting his father. It was because of this gula the Briskarov survived the war, the Holocaust. And that is, what does Reb Chaim say? Reb Chaim says in Nefesh HaChaim the following words. He says, Ubemes hu inyan gadol gula nefloa. Reb Chaim is saying, says gula nefloa. Reb Chaim Volozhin is saying that. It's a peladik gula. It's a gula for what? Lehesu levatla me'olav kol dinim uritzoynis acherim shlayuchlu lishalboy. When you have people that are trying to hurt you, how can you remove their ritzoynis? They should not have shlit over you. How can you remove other people should not have a koyach, even though they're more powerful than you? People are in a position to hurt you. How can you remove, right? External forces, they stay away. But whatever it is, I don't know if it works against creditors. I don't know if that works that way. I don't know. But upon them, they shouldn't hurt you, at least. They shouldn't be able to hurt you. So here the Yetzer says, Shloilasu shum roshim klau. They should not be able to know roshim. Kishodam kaveya b'libo. Here's the Yetzer. A person should be kaveya b'libo loyma. Halei Hashem hu alikim hu amiti. Ein oid melvado yizborach shum koich b'yolam. Ein oid melvado, not only on this world, but chol oyam is cloud, and also in the upper worlds. Ein oid melvado. There is no other force. This world, Yenevelt, all worlds, only Kodesh Baruch Hu. The hakoil mole, all the worlds, this and those worlds are filled with one thing: rak achdusoi haposhet yizborach shemoy. Only with Hashem's uniqueness. Umevatle beliboy, bitul gomor. What the person says, I'm a vatal all my ritzoyis to Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm fully in Hashem's hands, ein oid mulvadoi, u'mishabed, u'medabek toyer machshavtoi, right? He's mishabed, he dedicates his purity of machshava only la'odon yochid baruch hu. Cain, if you do that, if you're mevatel yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu will mevatel, in other words, will do what you need. Cain, yaspik hu yizborach biyodoi, Kodesh Baruch Hu will help you out, shememele yizbatlu mol of kol ha-koiches. Because if you're mevatel all koiches, here's the part. If you're mevatel all koiches to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu will talk to be mevatel all those koiches. All those koiches that are standing against you, all those koiches that are opposite you, if you're mevatel all the koiches by saying, Einon mevadoi, Hashem will be mevatel tak all those koiches. Because you yourself said, there's no something else. Nothing else exists. So if you really are kaveya. If you really confirm this in your mind, so Hashem will taka be mavatal all the external forces. Because you yourself in your mind were mavatal them. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says. That what? Shloyuchu lifoy lo shum dover. So said with David Soloveitchik, v'chein b'meshech kol aderech, the entire way, when the Briskrov was escaping from one place to another, v'hisiach ho'aba zatzal es datoy memachshov azu. My father was never masiach, he had my enoid mulvado, he said. He said, this, which is mentioned in Nefesh HaChaim. Now listen to this. Listen to this next few lines. V'sipr ho'aba, in the top of the Gezukt, he says, the Briskrov told, she'besoif aderech, you know what happens is, the idea was to get to the border. The idea was to get to the border. So he says, Briskrov, he says, Einar Malvada, Einar Malvada, you know, and there was German soldiers and all the things. Nothing. Mamshi bypassed everybody. The whole mice with the passport, he didn't have everything. Nothing. Nobody stopped him. Einar Malvada. He comes to the border, he already felt safe. He stopped thinking of Einar Malvada. I'm already by the border. Look what happened. What means he got caught? The Germans caught him. The moment he stopped thinking of Einar Malvado, he thought he was safe already. He's by the Gvul. He's already by the border. So Masiach Das for a moment. The moment he was Masiach Das of it, he said immediately he was surrounded by German soldiers. Well, Achish Tafsu, when they grabbed him already, Miyad Chozal Machshavta. Now he went back to Einar Malvado. He went back to Malvado. Was Boha Chayil Hanoisev. Then came additional soldiers. Shehoyu that they passed him for some reason. Let him go for some reason. Whenever he needed to come to a certain place, he says, he also gave us direction to the same thing. This rabbi say. There's a gavaldi gizgul on the floor. This is something we need. Who knows how many Yeshuas we're able to pull with this gavaldi gizgul.